So Saraji was explaining Nikama Sukha from the very basic, explaining what is mentioned in the text and how one should put into practice in order to gain Nikama Sukha. So it is said that Kamado Nikama Sukha, it means that Nikama Sukha is the kind of happiness one gains by being free from two kinds of karma, vattu karma, objective sensuousness, and kilesa karma, subjective sensuousness. So vattu karma, objective sensuousness, means the objects that are desirable. So good sights, beautiful sights, pleasant sounds, good taste, good fragrance, good touch, they are called vattu karma. These are the objects, desirable objects. And the greed or lust, wanting these good objects, is called kilesa karma, subjective sensuousness. So there are two things, desirable objects, sensual objects, which are called vattu karma, and the lust and crave, lust, craving, greed, wanting desirable objects, it is kilesa karma, subjective sensuousness. So the kind of happiness that is free from these two kinds of karma is called Nikama Sukha. So one needs to understand how to gain Nikama Sukha. So karma is greed or lust, and in order to be free from this greed or lust, one should develop the opposite factor, non-greed. So one should accumulate wholesome mind that has alobha, non-greed, as chief, over and over again. So in order to be free from these two kinds of karma, both objective and subjective sensuousness, one should be noting continuously with aiming and effort so that the noting will be effective. So when the person is able to note continuously with aim and effort, he, she will be free from both kinds of karma, vattu karma and kilesa karma. So his or her mind will be wholesome and clean. So inferior states has been following throughout the samsara. So these unwholesomeness are deeply rooted in the person throughout one's life. In order to get rid of these unwholesome states, one cannot just remove it all at once. One must first loosen these unwholesome states. And after loosening them, when they become weak, one can then remove it. So it is said that kusaladi dhamma lobha patipakkhena. It means that wholesome mind, wholesome states, they are opposite of lobha, opposite of greed. So if one is free from greed, one can gain nekama sukha. So in order to gain nekama sukha, one needs to develop wholesome mind continuously over and over again. As a yogi, one needs to be mindful on presently arising object continuously. In order to be able to note the present arising object, one needs to aim and direct the noting mind towards the object. Aiming, directing the mind towards the object, it is vitakka, one of the jhanic factor. So the noting mind should also rub onto the object. The noting should be effective. In order that the noting mind will be effective, one should also assert atapa viriya, ardent effort. One needs to push the mind with ardent effort so that the noting mind will reach the object of meditation. Then the noting mind will rub onto the object. The noting will be effective. So among the five jhanic factors, vitakka, aiming, directing, is one of the jhanic factor, and vichara, rubbing of the noting mind against the object, sustained application, is also one of the jhanic factor. So vitakka and vichara, initial application and sustained application, are present in every bhavana citta, in every bhavana mind. And thus, one will be free from both kinds of karma, and thus, one will be gaining nekama sukha. So, being free from these two kinds of karma, by being mindful continuously, one gains genuine nekama sukha. But still, there is tender stage, mature stage of nekama sukha. So in order to have mature state of nekama sukha, one needs to note, one needs to be mindful continuously every single second. So vitakka and vichara, initial application and sustained application, play very important role in order to free oneself from vatukama, sensual objects. So with vitakka and vichara present, the mind will not go to sensual objects. So in order to control one's mind not to go on these essential objects, vitakka and vichara are necessary. So having vitakka and vichara present, the mind will go onto the object. The mind will not be shaken or agitated, but it will go onto the object of meditation. Saraji gives an example. If two pieces of cloth are to be sewn together, one needs to have needle and also thread. So the needle has to go through the two pieces of cloth, and also thread should follow the needle so that the two pieces of cloth will be firmly connected attached together. So without the thread, two pieces of cloth cannot be sewn together. So only if there is both the thread and the needle and the thread, then one can sew two pieces of cloth together. So by stitching these two pieces of cloth together, the two pieces will become one by stitching together. So with this example, understanding this example, one will also understand vitakka and vichara. So these vitakka and vichara are very important in order to keep the mind controlled so that the mind will not be agitated or the mind will not go onto these sensual objects. So Saraji gives example of stitching two pieces of cloth together. In order to stitch two pieces of cloth together, one needs to stitch either with a machine, sewing machine, or with hand. So first of all, one needs to pierce the two pieces of cloth with the needle. So when the thread follows the needle, then these two pieces of cloth will be stitched together. In order to pierce the needle into the cloth, one should aim the needle where one wants to stitch. And also, one needs to put effort so that the needle will go through the cloth. And when the thread goes after the needle, then these two pieces of cloth will be stitched together. So these two pieces of cloth should be stitched together using the needle, aiming the needle towards where one wants to stitch, and the thread should also follow the needle. So in this way, these two pieces of cloth will be firmly stitched, firmly connected, firmly attached together so that two pieces become one. So, like in the example of stitching two pieces of cloth, in the same way, in order to note the presently arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, one needs to aim the mind towards the object. And one should also put effort so that the noting mind will reach the object. So if these two factors, aim and effort, are equally balanced, and if these two factors, aim and effort, are doing their own function, then vichara, sustained application, will keep the mind connected, attached, rubbed onto the object. So vitakka and vichara, initial application and sustained application, they play an important role in order to keep the mind controlled, in order to keep the mind connected to the object of meditation. And also, effort also is a very important strength. So, if one can note the object effectively for 1 minute, there will be 60 moments of mindfulness. there will be 60 moments of this viriya, sati, and samadhi present for 60 moments. It is called bhavana. Bhavana means upadana, initiating the mental strength. And also vadana means to increase or to develop or to cultivate so that the mental strength will become from small to big, from tender to ripe. So one should increase this viriya again and again so that the strength, vitaka, initial application, vichara, sustained application, and viriya, effort, will become from small to big, from tender to ripe. So if one strength is alone, it will not be as strong. But when strength are connected or gather or united together, then they form to be amazingly strong. So bhavana means atano sandane chaitan puna puna janeti. So bhavana means to develop, to cultivate, to increase the wholesome mind, the wholesome strength of the mind continuously again and again. In order to accumulate the bhavana mind, jhana bhavana mind, over and over again, repeatedly, one needs these two factors. Vitaka, aiming the noting mind towards the object, and vichara, rubbing the noting mind towards the object. So when these two factors are present, the jhana becomes savitaka savijara. The jhana becomes associated with initial application and sustained application. So when this jhana mind arises, it is free from two kinds of karma as well as other kinds of unwholesomeness. So it is said that viveceva kamehi viveca akusalehi dhammehi. It means that by gaining jhana, one is free from these two kinds of karma, both objective and subjective sensuousness, as well as all the other unwholesome states. So in order to be free from these karma, one should have this aiming, the noting mind towards the object, and also rubbing the noting mind onto the object. So one will be free from these two kinds of karma as well as other hindrances. So what is the benefit of being free from these two kinds of karma and other unwholesomeness is that vivekaca piti sukha. There will be joy and happiness born from seclusion away from these defilements and hindrances. So the cause is being free from karma, being free from these lust and greed, and also sensual objects. And the effect will be vivekaca piti sukha, joy and rapture born of seclusion. So when there is piti, joy, yogi feels very glad. And when there is sukha, happiness, yogi feels very comfortable. And yogi also starts to have more interest in the practice. Especially at the stage of Uddiyapaya Jnana, at the stage of insight into arising and passing away of the objects, yogi feels happy, satisfied, comfortable. So one gains nekama sukha. So by giving up the kama sukha, sensual happiness, one gains nekama sukha, especially at the stage of Uddiyapaya Jnana. So at this stage, yogi gains a very precious substitute, that is the nekama sukha. So when the yogi gets to the stage, he, she does not withdraw from the practice, but he, she practices further, pursue the practice further. And at this stage, yogi experiences nikama sukha, the kind of happiness that excels so many times than the worldly happiness. So the yogi gains more faith and confidence on both the practice and the method. Yogi cherishes and values the practice, and yogi also understands that his or her life is uplifted, and the yogi comes to understand very well that worldly pleasure is nothing, it is insignificant, only Dhamma pleasure excels the worldly pleasure. Most of the people, they are very used to staying in comfort. So usually, a lot of people, when they are free, they just lie down, take it easy, and stay in comfort. If they are tired of lying on one side, they will shift to the other side, and they will have basa sukha, lying, shifting from one side to another to be more comfortable. And also, when they wake up, they do not just get up immediately, but they take it easy and they are enjoying comfort before getting up. So they are also enjoying metta sukha. So it has been a bad habit throughout one's life. So when they come for practice, this bad habit follows them. So during the practice also, some yogis, they are just noting in a very easy way, noting in a very easygoing manner. So their mind becomes very contracted and constricted. Their mind not being alert or active. So if this happens when the yogi is noting in a very easygoing manner, their mind becomes contracted, and then they start to nod, and then they go into a nap or a short sleep. So vitaka, initial application, spreads the mind so that the mind will open, blossom, fresh, and alert. Viriya, effort, overwhelms laziness. Having viriya, effort present, there will not be lack of energy, there will not be withdrawing from the practice, there will not be lack of energy, there will not be lethargy. So viriya overwhelms this laziness. laziness that does not want to put effort, laziness that withdraw, wanting to withdraw from the practice, lack of energy, exhausted, lethargic. So such are overwhelmed by viriya, effort. So viriya heat up the laziness so that the mind becomes alert, active, and fresh again. Having vichara, sustained application present, the noting mind rubs onto the object. The noting is effective, so there will be a certainty. So having vichara present, one will be certain. Without vichara, one that is not certain of the object, one will be thinking what it is, how is it, why is it. But when the yogi notes the object, when the noting mind rubs onto the object, then there will be certainty about the object. Being certain about the object, there will not be uncertainty or doubt or confusion. So having vichara present, one will also remove doubt and uncertainty. So having vichara present, the mind will not be skeptical or uncertain. So in this way, by applying these jhanic factors, the mind will become amazingly fresh, alert, and active. And one will have certainty. One will become certain. In one's life, there will be certainty in one's life. Especially, there will be certainty in going on the right path of practice. So, having vichara present, one will be certain to keep on walking the straight path of Dhamma. In order to note the presently arising object without missing, without failing, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, one needs these jhanic factors. Also, in practicing satipatthana, atapa viriya, ardent effort, is also essential. Having atapa viriya, having ardent effort, the mind will be warm, alert, active, ready to note the presently arising object. The noting mind has to be pushed onto the object. So when the noting mind is pushed onto the object with ardent effort, then sati, mindfulness, will follow. The noting mind will stick onto the object. So it will be satipatthana. The noting mind will be closely, firmly established on the object. When there is sustained mindfulness, the mind will not run elsewhere. There will be kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. So in order to develop sati, mindfulness, and kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, viriya, atapa viriya, ardent effort, is very essential. And also, the jhanic factors of vitekka and vichara, initial application and sustained application, is also essential. So yogis who are now practicing, whether they have these two factors, aiming and effort, are present or not, they they know, yogis know themselves better whether they have these two factors, aim or effort. So if a yogi is lacking these two factors, aiming and effort, the mind will not stick onto the object, so there will be lack of mindfulness. The mind will not be calm and collected on the object. There will not be collectedness of mind. When the noting mind is not direct or face to face with the object, yogi does not know about the object. So the noting will be just superficial, and the yogi will not know the true nature. So it will be just like eating the food without knowing its taste. So if one is taking, for example, some kind of nuts, for example, and if the person does not pay attention when chewing and eating the nut, he, she will not know whether it is hard or soft, and the person will not know the flavor because the person is eating unmindfully. The person is eating without paying attention. So when the person eats, aiming an effort, when the upper teeth and the lower teeth grinds the nut, when the nut goes between the upper teeth and the lower teeth and chew it, then the person paying attention will know whether the nut is hard or soft, and will also know the taste. Without paying attention, the person will just swallow it without knowing the taste. So in the same way, when the person is noting the object without aiming, directing the mind onto the object, without putting effort to note it, then the noting will not be effective. It will only be superficial. The noting mind will not pierce into the object. So the person noting in this way will not know the nature of the object. So when the teacher asked them, when you note rising, what do you come to know? When you note falling, what do you come to know? If they are asked this way, yogi who does not note the object with aim and effort will not be able to answer the question properly. They will be answering this and that without answering it properly. They will be just reporting from their thoughts. So yogis should be noting the object properly, meticulously. So just as when one chews the food without paying any attention on it, the person will not know the taste. So if the person swallows properly, then the person will know whether the food is hard or soft, whether the taste is sweet or sour. So in the same way, when the yogi notes the object properly, yogi will come to know the nature. It is called sabhava or sarasa, the nature involved in the object that is compared to the flavor involved in the food. So tomorrow, Saroji will continue to explain how to note so that the yogi will come to know the nature which is compared to the flavor or taste of the food.
Sadhu, sadhu.